You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. Celebrate Canada's 150th and treat yourself to a brand new Silverado. 20% off MSRP cash credit on select vehicles right now at Lakewood Chev.
Joining us now to go around the world of the Canadian Football League. Week 9 was entertaining, and Week 10 hopes to be just as entertaining. We're joined by Matt Cause from CFL.ca and the co-host of the Macko and Cause podcast. Matt, welcome to the show. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing fantastic. I was telling your producer, I'm at the X here in Toronto. So a lot of nutty rides, and I had this one dish. It was like a donut with like a cheesesteak on a donut with a cheesesteak in it with like strawberry dressing and whipped cream. I think my life expectancy has just been knocked down by 7 years.
Probably, but was it worth it though? I'm drooling over here and I can't even see it.
It was really good. That plus some deep fried Oreos and part of a milkshake. I'm polluting my body. As I'm talking to you, I'm realizing the caloric intake and it's nuts.
You might not make it through the interview, so we'll get to business right away here, man.
Yeah.
Matt, I've been a big fan of the first 9 weeks of the CFL season. We've had some close games and a couple blowouts, but I think if you're new commissioner Randy Ambrosi, besides a couple hiccups here or there, you got to be pretty happy with the first 9 weeks.
Oh, absolutely you do. It started out with every game. The first 3 weeks, almost every game was super close. You've had relative health from the quarterback position, which means so much, even though, you know, they're in Edmonton, seems the quarterback's the only one not getting hurt. Yeah. But I mean, that's been a big part of it, is that, you look at Toronto, and Ricky Ray starts, it's a lot more entertaining. Darian Durant's been up and down, but it's a much better play than Vernon Adams, whoever the Alouettes had last year. And then we know what's going, and, you know, Trevor Harris and Ottawa's put big numbers. And then you look at West, but Levi Mitchell and Mike Riley. I think, you know, what's funny, the only guy who's been kind of disappointing has been Jonathan Jennings. And maybe I'm only saying that because I thought he was going to win the MOP this year. But Jennings is the only really quarterback where I just expected more from. But yeah, the overall picture right now is it's been a ton of fun so far this year.
Well, you mentioned Jonathan Jennings. Let's go with that for a little bit. Are the BC Lions maybe a team in the West you're expecting more from? They currently have a crossover right now at 5-4. That's not a bad record, but I think a lot of people maybe had them slightly ahead of the Bombers. What do you make of the BC Lions so far?
Yeah, absolutely had them ahead of the Bombers. I mean, we saw that great comeback win, they had last year. And also the Lions were, I think, the only team that beat Calgary when Bo Levi Mitchell actually started, because when they lost to Montreal late in the year, Mitchell didn't play. And then, you know, they add Chris Williams, and in my mind, adding, you know, I knew he was going to be out for a bunch of weeks, but I had Chris Williams also, you know, incredible array of talent, and they brought almost everyone back in terms of skill position. Now they did lose some talent on the offensive line to the Montreal Alouettes, and I think that's been a huge loss. I was shocked the other week when they got blown out by Saskatchewan. I've never seen a three-man rush disrupt a team as much as what the Rough Riders were able to do. So, you know, that's been the big Achilles heel. And also losing Adam Big Hill is obviously going to hurt you. But, yeah, the Lions, I expected them at this point to be a better than a 5-4 team.
If you are John Chick, how excited are you to go from a winless 0-8 Ticats to a 7-1 Eskimo team, who, as you mentioned, is pretty banged up, but you got to be doing cartwheels if you're John Chick, aren't you?
You are in a puddle of water, and you are doing your Andy Dufresne from Shawshank Redemption. Your arms are extended to the heavens, and you've crawled through a mile of bleep, and that mile of bleep has been the Ticats in June and July. Absolutely. I mean, well, I'll say this. The one part I feel bad for is he has 8 kids. And, you know, they were all set, and I don't even know what's going to happen. Are they going to stay in school in Burlington, Ontario? Are they going to move? Like, it's a massive disruption from them on a personal and family standpoint, but professionally, it's got to be a thrill for him. And we saw what he did last year, double-digit sacks at that age, and he's going to a team that needs him. I mean, it's funny. I was trying to call up the list of Edmonton Eskimo players that have been injured, and, you know, not backup starters, all-star level players on the defensive line. You know, J.C. Sherritt, the season begun. So he's going to a team that needs him, and he's going to a team that is the second-best team in the CFL. I still have Calgary at number one just because, you know, margin of victory versus Edmonton, where it's been a lot of close calls, but it's a perfect fit.
The Eskimos are joined by Matt Cause from CFL.ca. The Eskimos have been very banged up, but they're still 7-1, lost their first game, obviously, to the Bombers this past week. How much credit should go to head coach Jason Moss, who's been able to manage the ship? Obviously, Ed Hervey helped build this team. Brock Sunderland's taken over, but how much credit do you give Jason Moss for what this team has done?
Well, I wonder how much they'll give Ed Hervey. I give Moss a ton of credit since coming over. And there was all the controversy a couple of years ago when Chris Jones left 18 minutes after the Grey Cup victory for Edmonton. But, you know, look at the offense. Look what they've been able to do with injuries, with departures on, at receiver and at running back. Total credit. I mean, when a team continues to win and continues to execute despite injuries, you have to start at the top, because it's all about having a program and having just sort of that base foundation where the next man up is a very good player. I think it's one of the biggest differences between the West and the East is, the West has better depth, especially at the quarterback position. Quite frankly, I think James Franklin would be a starting quarterback for a bunch of teams here in the East. Credit to the staff for just amassing all that talent.
Matt Cause from CFL.ca joins us. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers sit with a record of 6-2, and they handed the Eskimos their first loss of the season. It still seems to me from the outside that they're not getting the respect that maybe they feel they deserve. The Grey Cup clearly goes through Alberta in either Edmonton or Calgary, but do you think the Bombers have a sense of what about us?
Oh, absolutely they do, and it's because of jerks like me. But we come by it honestly. When you look at the turnover ratio last year, it was such a huge gap between Winnipeg and the next highest team, and all the interceptions, which, again, good, credit on them, especially last year. But sometimes there's a little bit of a regression. And always the question with Winnipeg was, how good could you be if you were even in the turnover ratio? Can you win games when you actually do make some mistakes? Even bad teams can win more than 50% of their games if they just don't make mistakes and, capitalize on the few that the other team makes. But, and then there was Matt Nichols, who is always shaking the, game manager title. And, he is starting to get rid of it. And I understand why Winnipeg would be angry at us. I mean, they nearly beat BC last year. Again, they probably should have won, but they've had a great record the last 2 years. They've got a good coach in O'Shea. Nichols, at the very least, is an above average quarterback. So I see why they would be angry at us that we're not giving them enough credit. And eventually, if they keep winning, they're just going to force respect, and that's kind of sometimes how it's earned. So, I'm not rooting. I never root for anyone to do bad. I want to be proven wrong. And the one thing I hate and also love about making the picks at CFL.ca is, and it seems this happens a lot with Edmonton, or with Winnipeg, excuse me. Every time Winnipeg wins and any of us pick against them, you get a lot of people on Twitter congratulating us on our picks.
Matt Cause from CFL.ca joined us. The Ottawa Redblacks sit with a record of 2-6-1, the defending Grey Cup champions. At what point are the Red Blacks what the record says there is? Because I still find a lot of people saying, a lot of stuff's been changed over. Like, at what point do we just say Ottawa's a bad team?
I am not going to be that guy. Okay. In fact, I wrote a column a couple weeks ago saying that.
Sounds like he's swearing a lot at us. Was he so fired up about his column? We're going to try to get him. He was so worked up about my question about the Red Blacks. He was censoring his own comments. The Red Blacks, they get a victory over the Ticats, 37-18. But at what point? Matt, you were so fired up, it sounded like you were swearing at me.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with my phone. My battery is just an absolute mess right now.
Well, no worries, but you're saying you wrote a column a couple weeks ago about the Red Blacks?
Yeah, I think that, and sorry for the, my phone is now, going all over the place on speaker. I wrote a couple weeks ago, I thought our Red Blacks are still going to win the East. Trevor Harris is, I think, as good as Ricky Ray, and he's got more weapons than Ricky Ray. I think the problem with Ottawa, they've had so many close losses, so many just odd mistakes at the wrong time. In a lot of ways, I treat Ottawa like the bizarro Blue Bombers. I think I give Ottawa too much credit despite their record, and with Winnipeg, I don't give them enough credit because of their record. So until then, I still have faith in the Red Blacks, and maybe I'm just blinded because of what they did last year in the Grey Cup.
Matt, we'll close on this one. What's coming up on the next edition of the Macko and Cause podcast?
It is going to be us doing our best to not talk strictly about the Maple Leafs and just all the hype going towards Austin Matthews. So we are going to do our best in the month of August to not go too crazy on the Maple Leafs. The Jays are done, and now it's starting to debunk some of the myths in the NFL? Which quarterbacks are actually good and which ones just get too much attention?
Absolutely great stuff, Matt. Thanks for this. We'll chat soon.
Anyways, take care.
Matt Cause from CFL.ca and the Macko and Cause podcast.